You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Now you've just spent 60 whole seconds discussing one of life's little questions. What is the best potato product? That's because we are in the middle of a series of messages called Life's Big Questions. Life's Big Questions. And today's question is something that we're going to discuss together, and is simply, why only Jesus? Why only Jesus? Out of all of the things that you could get enthusiastic or passionate about, out of all of the things you can build your life around or upon, why do we believe at Audacious Church that Jesus is the best decision that you will ever make in your life, right? That's what we're going to discuss. But I just felt like there was something different about this service. The 10:30 service, you guys brought some faith to church. And so I thought I'd see, before we get into it, if there was anybody in church this morning, anybody who's watching online, and you already know why only Jesus. If that's you, and you got something in your heart that says, I know why Jesus, because he changed my life, then I want you to give God a shout of praise. Come on, I want you to give him a shout, because you know why only Jesus. You know why only Jesus. You want to know only Jesus? Ask me. That's what you're saying. You're saying, just ask me. Just look at my life. Because God took me. God took me from where I was. He picked me up and he put me on solid ground. If you want to know why only Jesus, ask me. If that's you, then give him a shout. All right, I was just checking I was in the right place. You can now take your seats. Out of all of the things that you could be enthusiastic about, in this service, we're discussing why Jesus. Like, why be enthusiastic about that? Let's face it, there are many things that people get passionate about. Sleep, according to Joel, who just gave me the best yawn ever. That was brilliant. You know, I was driving home recently from here and going down the East Lancs Road, and I saw a person like in full medieval knight costume, including shield and sword, on an electric scooter, just going up the road. And I was like, yes, mate, you are passionate about something at least. Something's got this guy up and decided to put his chainmail on and actually go and reenact some historical battle somewhere. And then he's just thought, I'm not getting changed, I'm just going to scoot home. Good on him. Give me a wave if you know someone who's enthusiastic about the gym. As in, they've got all the gear, but no idea. If that's you, then your mate is next to you waving at me right now. All the gear, no idea. There's so many things. People are passionate about climate change. People passionate about music, sport. Again, to refer to my blue brother over here, when Everton lose, it changes the atmosphere. Am I right, Lisa? In the house, because we're passionate about this terrible football club. Everton FC, you can take points off us and we will remain in the... Okay, we're not preaching about that. We're not preaching about that. Maybe it's music. I absolutely love music. You know, when I was a kid, I used to just buy music all the time and go and watch gigs and people, you know, if it's not your thing, then maybe it seems weird. But let's face it, one man's genius is another man's weirdo. Look back over human history at all, you know, just to name a few: David Bowie, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Steve Jobs, Richard Branson, Elon Musk. They're geniuses, but they're also weirdos. Because it's just like, it's actually innate. It's in all of us that we have like a hunger in our hearts, a longing in our souls for something. We just don't know what it is. And so what we do is we try and fill that gap. We try and answer the question, and we try and do it with all sorts of other things. But there's some people in Audacious Church who recognize that the only thing that will fill the gap, Come on, the only thing that will feed the hunger is not money, it's not popularity, it's not social media, it's Jesus. Jesus, why only Jesus? There is a growing hunger for God in human society. Pastor Glenn told us last week in the intro to his message, why do bad things happen to good people? Pause. If you didn't listen to last week's message, part one of this series, I want to encourage you. No, I want to challenge you. I dare you to go back and listen to last week's message, because actually it lines up with this week's message. And if you get all three of them, including next week, it's going to be like a complete set for your heart. And so I want you to do that. But in his message, he was talking about how the rhetoric in society is that the church or hunger for God or the Holy Spirit or what God is doing is shrinking. That would be the rhetoric if you read the paper or you know maybe listen to the news. But what he was telling us and what I'm declaring today is the church isn't shrinking, the church is growing. The reason why I know the church is growing is because of a guy dressed as a medieval knight on an electric scooter on East Lancs Road tells me that someone is passionate and enthusiastic about something. And there's a hunger in society for something. They just don't know what it is. And it's our job, Audacious Church, not just to say, but to be. To live our lives in such a way that people say, what is it about you? Why are you so enthusiastic and full of life and full of momentum? And you're able to say, it's because Jesus changed my life. So, the Bible puts it this way, by the way, if you didn't believe me, then Ecclesiastes says this in chapter 3 and verse 11, God set eternity in the hearts of mankind. In other words, from the moment a person is born, there is a longing to return, a longing to go back to that from which he or she came. And so we have an easy job as the church. All we have to do is point back to Jesus, because they have a longing. And maybe you're in church today and you're not a Christian, or you've maybe been to church a few times, but you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Listen, that hole in your heart, that sort of like missing piece of the puzzle that you've been trying to fill with all sorts of different things, nothing's going to fill it except for Jesus. You don't have to talk like me, sound like me, thank goodness. You don't have to dress like me, praise the Lord. You don't have to believe, you know, what I believe about Everton Football Club. But let me tell you what I have discovered. The impact of knowing Jesus has changed my life, and it will change yours. It will change yours. So we've got to ask this question. We've got to discuss this question today. Why only Jesus? And I think in all of our thoughts and some of the other leaders as well, as this message is being preached in all of our campuses, if you didn't know, we got churches or campuses of our church in 5 different cities, 7 locations. Right now, our north and south location, their services are happening. Pastor Stuart and Julie down in the south, and Joel and Becky in the north. We're all here. It's awesome. Sorry, I just love in the church for a moment. Is that okay? You know, we've got people in Geneva and Chester and Cardiff and Sheffield. So awesome. And we're all having this conversation either today or next week, or we did it last week. And I think between us, in all our study and thinking and praying, I think we've identified 3 answers to the question for today. Why only Jesus? 3 answers. And I want to put them before you, because it's either going to wake something up in you, because you've fallen asleep to the fact that this is happening. You know, you don't know you're asleep when you're asleep. You only know you've been asleep when something wakes you up. And I'm praying and believing that for some Christians in this room, and by the way, you don't have to be a Christian to be in this church. You're totally welcome. We're glad that you're here if you're not a Christian. But if you are a Christian, God's voice is going to wake you up to something in this service, and you're going to leave this place awake on the inside, awakened by the Spirit of God. You're going to leave this place different. You're going to walk into your workplace tomorrow with something different, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because you woke up, you recognize the voice of the alarm clock that is God's Spirit saying, wake up. Maybe you're not a Christian. You're going to have this question answered for the first time. And we're going to pray a prayer of connection at the end of the service between you and God. And people do that in all of our services every week. And we absolutely love it. So here we go. Answer number one. If you're writing some notes, then this would be a good time to start writing. I see you poised. I see your blank page. So far, so not so good. Why only Jesus? Answer number one. It's because Jesus is God. It's called mic technique. Put the microphone closer to your mouth, it gets louder and deeper. You go from Paul Reed to T.D. Jakes in one moment. Why only Jesus? Because Jesus is God. Jesus is God, no prefix needed. Not a God, not even for the context of this conversation, the God. He is capital G, God. Doesn't require, you know, like some of them celebrities, they don't need a surname. You know what I'm saying? They just need their name. And it's like, yep, Beyonce, we know who you are. No surname required. This is even more than that. I know, right? Even more than Beyonce. God, capital G. The reason why Jesus is the thing to base your life upon, to orbit your life around, is because Jesus is God. He's God. The enemy, the Bible talks about the fact that the devil is the enemy of our soul, and he wants to dilute the power of the gospel, this book that's transformed my life and yours. He wants to dilute the power of this book, and one of the ways he does it is by convincing people that Jesus was a good man. By telling people, see, it's not an obvious opposition. It's not standing outside with placards saying, no, no, no. It's just saying, Jesus, it was a really good man. The rhetoric goes that Jesus was just a moral guide. He was just a wise teacher. But let me tell you what C.S. Lewis says in his book, Mere Christianity. He says, a man who is merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. Jesus is God. Matthew chapter 1, right at the beginning of the New Testament, there's these four eyewitness accounts of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus. Divinity, right? Heaven. Come and taken the form of humanity, clothed himself with humanity. And this is like one of the prophecies before Jesus was born, that an angel appeared and spoke to Mary and said these words, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is God. The transformational impact of that statement will, in the next few minutes, get you to your feet, because Jesus is God. You know, the thing is, if Jesus is God, it means no one else can be God. It means you're not God. It means I'm not God. It means Trump is not God. It means Mother Teresa is not God. It means Mother Mary is not God. It means the universe isn't God. It means the devil's not God. It means karma's not God. It means the Pope's not God. It means that Jesus is God. We worship, as a society, we worship the God, small g God, of our circumstances. Because we passionately believe that if our circumstances were just a little bit different, then everything would be okay. There's always someone whose circumstances seem more favorable to you than you do. And so what we do in pursuing those circumstances, we put those first and therefore decide that those are God. And in our worshiping of our circumstances, we fail to recognize that we dethrone, we take off or remove from the center, we take from the place where he belongs, Jesus, and we put ourself or our circumstances or pop culture or something in the place of where God should be. That's why praise and worship is too important for you to turn up late for church and miss. Because what we do in praise and worship, it's not just about having a little bit of a warm-up or a little bit of an exercise or a little bit of karaoke. What we're doing in praise and worship, we're saying, yes, Lynn Marie, I hear you. God is first. We're saying yes to the worship team. We hear you. We're putting God first. So whatever you need to do, set your alarm earlier, set two alarms, buy a chicken or whatever it is that goes cock-a-doodle-doo, a rooster. Buy a chicken and then have some eggs. But then also buy a rooster and then do something that means you get up and get dressed, get your stuff on, get in the car and get to church. Not even on time. Get here early. So in the first praise song, from the front to the back, from the left to the right, we're all together putting God first, saying this is on the first day of the week. And the first thing we do is we put God first. Why only Jesus? Because Jesus is God, that's why. Jesus is God. What that means is, it means that his words are different to my words. His promises are different to your promises. You ever made a promise? Keep it up if you kept that promise for all eternity. Hands going down like deflated balloons. Come on, if I'm promising you something, you can take it with a pinch of salt. I'll do my best to keep my word. I want to be a person of integrity. But let me tell you, that's about 0.01% of when God promises something. And so when you acknowledge that Jesus is God, it means that you can read his words, you can hear his words, and you can take them as the final authority. You can say, God, Jesus has the power to forgive sins. Jesus has the authority to heal the sick. Jesus has authority to cast out demons. His death paid the price for my sin. How good is that song that we sang this morning? If he said it to the stone and then it rolled away, this is the Paul Reed version. If the stones are rolling over here, bones are waking up over here, it's all going crazy. If he said it and they did it, then he can do it again. That's because we understand that these are not Paul's words. It's not Pastor Rafaro's words. It's not Pastor Glynn's words. It's the words of Jesus. And so therefore, he is the image of the invisible God. So it's the word of God. That's why in our church, when we pray, we do not pray in the name of Elvis. We do not pray in the name of Spider-Man or whatever cultural phenomenon seems to be, you know, consuming society at any given moment. From the beginning of time until now, we will always, from the moment Jesus rose from the dead, the prayer of a disciple has always been in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And people can have a problem with all sorts of stuff, but let me tell you, if you come up against the name of Jesus, you lost. You lost. Because the name of Jesus is powerful. Why? Because Jesus is God. Second answer to the question, and there are many, but just of the three we're looking at today, is because Jesus is God, that also means that Jesus is enough. Why base your life around a person you've never seen, whose voice you've probably never audibly heard? It's because he's God, that's why. And because he's God, that means he is enough. Anybody familiar with that horrible feeling of knowing you're about to run out of something? Come on, when the petrol light's been on for 30 miles, it goes from being on to flashing. And in the old days, it used to go from flashing to beeping. But in the old days, they didn't tell you a number. You just sort of had to guess, and you'd be like, yeah, I think I can get by. I remember a long time ago, I had another girlfriend before I married Zoe. I'm just going to confess that to you all now. Just the one handful. I broke up with a girl, and she lived in Wales, and I had to drive home because we broke up, and it was my initiative. And the petrol light was on when I arrived. And I knew I didn't have enough petrol to get home, but I just broke up with her, so I wasn't going to be like, here's a tissue, can I have a tenner? It just wasn't going to work, and so I drove all the way home, 2 hours down the A483, with the light not only on and flashing and beeping. I mean, I had the windows down. I was like helping. I was like, it's a horrible feeling when you feel like you're going to run out. You know, when you're looking at the bank balance and it's like, it's going down by the day throughout the month, and you're thinking mentally in your head, okay, how many days till payday? Hopefully not how many weeks till payday. But that feeling of like, I'm not going to have enough. Let me tell you, Jesus is never going to disappoint you. He's never going to run out. He's never going to sleep. He's never going to be distracted. He's never going to be too busy, because Jesus is enough. There are some things that you have to do again and again. It's so temporary that by the time you've finished it, you have to do it again. In my house, washing up. I swear, we wash up, put all the stuff away, sit down, look up, there's a glass. One child has ninja'd their way into the kitchen, waited until everything's been dried and put away, and then put the dirty glass down. It's like, I just did it, now I'm gonna have to do it again. And apparently that's true with the washing. I don't wanna say that I know that, because I don't do that, but there you go. Thank you. I don't know what it is that you do again and again and again. I've been renovating our house for the last 100 years. And by the time you get to the end of one room, the other room that used to be the best room is now the worst room. And you've got to do it again. But let me tell you, Jesus is enough. There's nothing about him, who he is, and what he's done that needs to be repeated, that needs to be like multiplied or stretched in some way. Jesus is not in heaven going, Rafaro, I hear your prayer request, but Joel's also asked me. And so between you two, I might just have enough. Maybe, like there's some arm wrestle between God and the devil. And sometimes the devil's winning. And sometimes, no, that's not how it goes. Jesus won. He did it once and he did it for all. And you can bring your lack to God, because he is supernaturally what you naturally are not. A few weeks ago, I was in California supporting some friends. I told you about it. Some of you were in a few weeks ago when I mentioned it, because one of their team at their church, he unfortunately, tragically, took his own life. And Gary, my friend, he asked me to share with the team, because they were brokenhearted. And so I shared on four things that seem awkward or almost like ill-fitting. I spoke about strength, joy, hope, and peace. And the reason why is because when you are not that, he is. And I said to the team, I know you got no strength right now, but we've got church tomorrow. And they'd been dealing with this all week, and they were exhausted, and they were tired, and they had their own grief and their own stuff. But the next day was church, and everyone was coming to the church for the first time since Lucas ended his life, and it was a really difficult situation. I said, we're gonna have to pray, because you can have strength when you've no strength. You can have joy when you've no joy. You can have hope when it seems like it's hopeless. You can have peace. Because peace is not the absence of pain or the absence of stress. It's the presence of a person. His name is Jesus. You can have supernaturally what you naturally don't have. That's why you build your life around Jesus. Why only Jesus? Because he's enough. And I was listening to a conversation this week between two leaders. That's called a podcast. I wasn't just earwigging at a coffee shop. And they were talking about the idea that people think that if they get the answers to their questions, right? And for a lot of people who've been through challenging circumstances, the big question is why? And they were talking about how answers to your questions aren't enough. And it made me think about this point, that Jesus is enough. And God spoke to me, not an audible voice, but I just had this conviction that there would be someone or someones in church this morning, and you're desperate for an answer. You want to know why, you want to know when, you want to know how. But let me just tell you, even if you got the answers this morning, they wouldn't be enough. What you need is Jesus. And instead of basing your life around getting the answer to a question, base your life around Jesus. Because you can find healing in Jesus that even answers to your questions won't give you. Because if you got the answer to why or when or how, you more than likely wouldn't understand it, wouldn't agree with it, or it just wouldn't help anyway. And so you would still have the pain, you would still have the challenge, you would still have the frustration, you'd still have a heavy heart. The only person who is enough to heal your heart, his name is Jesus. Why only Jesus? Because Jesus is enough. In a moment, we're going to sing one of my favorite songs, Alpha and Omega. And I want to say to you, if you've got a question in your heart of why, if you've got pain in your heart, I'm not dismissing it. I'm making out like it's no big deal. I'm not saying just put it under the carpet and move on. I'm not just saying get over it. I'm saying, listen, lay your question metaphorically at the foot of the cross, because Jesus is enough, even without the answer. And you may never get your answer, but it is not God's will for you to meander through your life, basically with your life on pause because you never got the answer to a question, because the answer isn't enough, but Jesus is. The last answer to the question before we take a moment to put God back where he belongs again. And listen, you've got to come back tonight. Got to come back tonight, because in our 5:30 service, we're going to hear like why only Jesus is going to hear the answer in the form of a person. Because we've asked three people to come on this platform and share their story, their testimony, the Bible calls it, of how Jesus has transformed their life. See, people can argue with your theology. People can argue with your beliefs, but they cannot argue with your story. Nobody can take away from me what God has done in my life. The impact of Jesus, the Bible puts it this way in Revelation. They overcame him, they being the saints, him being the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, capital L. It's a name, a pictorial name for Jesus, the Lamb of God. This is all to do with the Old Testament and the sacrificial system where you, if you wanted forgiveness, you had to make a sacrifice of a lamb. But then we know in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, covenant, Jesus came, the Lamb, capital L of God. He was the sacrifice once and for all because he's enough, right? And so they overcame because of that. But also, we got two weapons in our ability to overcome. One is the blood of the Lamb, and two is the word of our testimony. You can shout me down, you can try to keep me quiet, but you will never take away from me the story of how Jesus took me from where I was and put me where I am on a path towards where I'm going. So listen, we got loads of time for praise and worship tonight, and weaved throughout the worship, we're going to have these three powerful stories. And what it's going to do is it's going to set a fire in your heart. It's going to be like a spark. The fuel and the spark are going to come together. The power of the presence and the word of God, and then the power of a testimony. It's going to come together, and you're going to go into your week next week. You're going to go into your office. You're going to go into your college, your university, school, wherever it is you spend your time. You're going to go back to your family with a fire in your belly. You're going to walk different, talk different, think different, act different. Why? Because Jesus is enough. The third answer to the question, as we're coming into land, is quite simply this. Why only Jesus? Because Jesus is the last word. The last word. Can we just pause for a moment to acknowledge how annoying it is when you have an argument and you just can't think of that killer line at the end? I got two brothers, as some of you know. One of them sat here on the front row, and he, when he has the last word, is so annoying. And if you got siblings, you know what I'm talking about. You know you've lost an argument when all you've got left is this face that's coming up on screen. Like, you can't think of anything, so you're just like, it's so frustrating. But let me tell you, the beauty of just having that killer line up your sleeve. You let them get all their argument out and they think they've won, and then just as you're walking away, you turn around and you deliver the killer blow, and all they've got is, let me tell you, Jesus is the last word. He's the final authority. When he says it, because he's God, he's enough, and his words are final. Come on, Jesus is the last word. The Bible puts it this way. He's the first word, John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word, capital W, was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. So he was there at the beginning. He's the first. But then the Bible says, well, firstly, in Hebrews 13, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So not only is he there at the beginning, he's also today. But it then says forever. And in Revelation 22, verse 13, it says, I am, Jesus speaking, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Would you stand to your feet? Because God is the last word, it means he has a different perspective. It means that that's why his authority is high. Well, one of the reasons why his authority is higher than yours. You know, in Isaiah, where it says, you know, your ways are higher than mine, like they're too lofty, they're too great to understand. It's because he's got a different perspective. Jesus stands at the end of your life. He stands at the end of this difficult season when you come out and you're better for it and you're stronger. He already stands in that moment. And so he can come to you today, and although your circumstances are screaming, not enough, can't do it, won't make it, don't believe it, haven't got what it takes, Jesus is the last word. And you can say all of that, but it will never trump, it will never overtake, it will never overcome the last word of Jesus, where he says, you are the head and not the tail. It says you can overcome because of my sacrifice on the cross and your testimony, your story of how that's changed. You can overcome. It's like Rocky on the canvas and Mickey in the corner saying, get up. It's a boxing movie. Mickey's the trainer, Rocky's the champ. And when he's on his back and he's got no strength, Mickey says, get up, get up. I can't get up. Yes, you can. No, you can't. You're not me. How do you know? Yes, you can. And that's exactly what God is saying.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.